Thank you, worship team. Good morning again. We are continuing our series called Gym Work. It's just walking through the book of James. As I've shared with you over the weeks, it's really one of the most practical books in all the New Testament. James is very passionate about what he is writing here. He gets in our face, kind of, you know, sometimes steps on our toes, and so I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning, you might want to lift them up a little bit, because he's going to do some stepping on our toes this morning as we talk about our tongue. So if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3. Just going to dive right in there, because I got a lot of stuff. I'll give you all I got on this chapter, the first part of this chapter in James. Here's what I know, that we love to talk. I looked this up this past week. There are over 2 million active podcasts going on right now. Everybody seems to have something to say. And we engage in about 30 conversations a day. About 30 conversations a day. And if you multiply those 30 conversations a day times 12 months, we speak enough words to fill almost 600-800 page books with just stuff that we say in 1 year. So I thought that, you know, I thought about that, and you know, if we could just kind of roll those 66 volumes out, and that represent your life, represent my life, if we could just kind of roll them out across the stage this morning, and I begin to think, what if we could take a couple of the books of your life and begin to read just some of the excerpts of words that you've said, you know, it's different parts and different seasons of your life. I think if we did that, you know, and if that was going to happen, we'd get a little bit shaky, right? And little, it'd kind of be a little freaky, you know, and if someone kind of actually read the words that we said during a certain time frame of our life. Those words that sometimes we don't think anybody even heard us say, but, you know, when our parents said something and we turned our back and walked out and kind of just mouthed some other words that they didn't see, but God did, you know, those would be recorded. I don't think we'd want to do that, right? And some of us are born with our foot in our mouths. Anybody ever know anybody like that? Yeah, don't punch the person next to you, but we have this natural ability just to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Nothing is opened probably more wrongly at the wrong time than our mouths. I love this story about the stock boy at the grocery store. This lady walked up to him and said, "Hey, can I buy a half a head of lettuce?" And, you know, the kid just kind of said, "Well, I'll have to ask my manager." He kind of rolled his eyes in turn, began to walk toward his manager. And he got to his manager, not realizing the lady was, you know, actually walking right behind him. And he said, "You know, listen, you're not going to believe this, but there's an old bag out there who wants to buy a half a head of lettuce." And he turned around and he saw her standing there right behind him. And he said, "And this lady would like to buy the other half. This fine lady right here would like to buy the other half of that lettuce." Our mouth gets us in trouble, right? And James talks more about the tongue than anybody else in the New Testament. Really, every chapter in his book says something about managing your mouth. Sometimes the students on Wednesday nights will play a game called Stupid Human Tricks, and they'll just volunteer if they have something that they can do that they don't think anybody else can do, with their bodies and the way they can do those kind of things. And usually always gets around to the tongue, right? And so many of them, and Kim can do this, and just, you know, it ticks me off, but she can roll her tongue. I don't know about you, but, you know, she actually can roll her tongue, and most students can do it, and that's something I can't do, you know, and it just, I get a complex with it, you know, and then eventually, you know, they stick it out, and those that can touch their, you know, their nose with their tongue, or those that can touch your chin, that's it for me, you know, and I gotta, and I'm telling you, it really bugs me. I got a complex, and then finally I realized there was something different about my tongue. You know that piece of skin that kind of connects your tongue to the bottom of your mouth? Mine is huge. Right? Mine is huge, and it's kind of like this tongue anchor so that I can't do those crazy tricks with my tongue. Well, believe it or not, the Bible tells us that we all need a tongue anchor. not the piece of flesh that connects our tongue to the bottom of our mouth. No, James is saying we need a spiritual tongue anchor. And you would say, well, why? Why do we need that? Why do we need a spiritual tongue anchor? Well, look at verse 2 in chapter 3. James says, we all stumble in many ways. And that word stumble means someone who has a tongue so long that they actually trip over it, right? And I think most of us, if we're honest, we could say that our biggest regrets are the hurtful words that we have said. And we wish we could get those words back. And conversely, I think our greatest joys have come from the encouraging words that we've heard from others. And the words that we've spoken to others, like, I love you. You know, will you marry me? You're amazing. But James says, so many times we stumble in many ways. And then he says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. James is saying that the tongue is very important. If you can control your mouth, that you're perfect. And he's not talking about sinless here. That word perfection in the Greek really means mature, healthy. It means you're full of moral and spiritual growth. And that's really the big idea of the whole book of James. James is after something called spiritual depth, spiritual maturity. He wants us to have an authentic faith. And he says throughout the text, you know, this is one thing. I mean, it's one thing to say you have faith, and we talked about this last week, Lynn, that you believe, but if you don't put behavior with your belief, if you don't put works with your faith, then you're just kind of like spitting in the wind, right? You're just talking smack. What happens to a lot of us if we don't have works in our lives? We usually substitute the works with words. We just talk all the time. And that was the problem with James's readers, I think. All these readers were trying to be teachers and speakers, trying to do this and that. And James is saying, hey, wait a minute. You'd better think about your tongue. Because what rolls off your lips, what comes out of your mouth, really tells and shows others what kind of depth you have. James is saying you've got to learn to manage your mouth. You've got to learn to tame your tongue and to get it under control. And you say, well, why must I do that, Monty? I mean, it's just words, and most of the time I'm just kidding. I'm being sarcastic. No. Words are significant. Someone once said the tongue is petite and powerful. Just let that kind of soak in. The tongue is petite. It's so, you know, it's a small part of the body, yet it is so, so powerful. It has got some serious power behind it. And because it's tiny, we think it's insignificant sometimes, but it really has tremendous power. And so James teaches us three things about the power of our tongue and our words. And the first is this. He says, our words have power to direct. Look at verse 3. He says, When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn that whole animal, right? He says the tongue is like a bridle. And I've shared this with you before. I grew up with horses, and I had a Palomino stallion that was really just aggressive. And as a 15, 16-year-old boy, it was really hard for me to control him. And so, you know, I had to make sure that I had a bit that would control him, that would just lay right across his tongue, that I could pull back on, or that I could jerk in a certain different direction, and he would respond to it because of that bit just pressing just the right way on his tongue. And James is saying, you know, our tongue is similar to that. A rider can control this tremendous, mighty horse with just a little piece of metal stuck strategically over his tongue. Your tongue controls, in the same way, the direction of your life. A little bit of a word or a phrase can influence the total direction of your life. It has tremendous influence and control over your life. You know, where you're headed in life. You know, you can begin to look at your conversations. You know, what you like to talk about. What do you talk about the most? And here's what I think. We shape our words, and then our words shape us. Look in verse 4, he goes on to say, you know, James is this great illustrator. He loves to use word pictures, and he goes on to say in verse 4, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. He says the tongue is a rudder. I don't know how many of you met Mo Sawyer here when he was here. He's Winnie Trustee's daddy. He was, you know, he was a man's man. Mo was. Even into his 80s, he was building race cars, playing tennis, and he built boats. He built two boats, not just a little boat. He built 40-foot yachts. And he built two of them in his life. And his last one, he finished in his 80s. And Kim and I had the opportunity to go out there and to pray over it. And he called it, you know, each boat was Faith 1 and Faith 2. And so we got out there, and Captain Mo began to just to tell us about his boat and how sensitive it was. He said, you know, he took us down into the bottom of it, into the hull where the engines were, and you know, like these two diesel engines down there, you know, just huge, you know, power. And he talked about the electronics, he talked about the steering and all that. And he said, you know, Monty, the rudder of this big boat is only 4 feet long. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? A 4-foot rudder against the backdrop of a 40-foot yacht. It's just amazing to me. And I thought, wow, you know, our tongue is very similar to that. Of how just this little bitty tongue can direct our lives in such an easy way. I mean, think about it. The damage that a runaway horse can do is serious. Think about a rudderless ship, how it can kill and destroy. Our tongue is the same way. This little 2-ounce slab of mucous membrane, if we don't get a hold of it, can injure and destroy. And some of you maybe even are agreeing with that. You're saying, Monty, you know what? I'm a testament to that. I ruined a marriage because of my tongue. I really messed up my children because of my tongue. I'm scarred. My self-esteem is all messed up because of some words that a coach or a teacher or a parent said to me. Notice something else about the tongue in James. He says, you know, this bit in the bridle, it goes against opposite forces, contrary forces. This horse is wild, you know, has this wild nature about it. And the horse wants to go this way and that way, but the bit, this small thing, can control the horse. This big boat, you know, pushing against the water. Think about that rudder as it goes against the contrary forces. Now think about your tongue. My tongue, your tongue, has the spiritual, you know, when it has a spiritual anchor, when it's under the control of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, it's going against opposite forces, contrary forces, like our sin. I mean, our sin nature is to rip people apart, right? Our sin nature is to share secrets about others, to slander others. My sin nature tells me to gossip about others, and so do yours. But once I allow the Lord to install a tongue anchor, all of a sudden I can begin to leverage those words for good. You know, they're powerful. They have value. James says that our tongue directs where we go, so we have to learn to control it. Second thing he says is, my words have power to destroy. Begins by saying the tongue can be a spark. Look in verse 5. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. I was reading about the California fires that happened just a year and a half ago or so, and one of them was started by a camper who was just hammering a metal tent peg, and it sparked and caught a dry area on fire, and 500,000 acres burned. Just imagine that. A beautiful forest, tall, beautiful trees everywhere, and in 1 minute up in smoke, completely destroyed instantly with a little tiny spark. James said, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. He says, your tongue can destroy like that. You can lose it all. I mean, a careless camper can destroy an entire national forest overnight, and careless words can destroy a life. Gossip is like fire. It spreads quickly and it wreaks havoc. I wonder how many people, because of a careless word, have destroyed their marriage or their career or their reputation or the reputation of another or a church or a friendship. The tongue not only has the power to direct, it can destroy what you have if you don't learn to control it. Proverbs 18:20 says you have to live with the consequences of everything you say. And then he says the tongue can be a fire. In verse 6, he says the tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. You ever met a verbal arsonist? Their words are always inflammatory. James says that words like a fire can burn people up. You know, we say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt, but they do, you know, they do hurt. Fire and words under control can give tremendous warmth and light, but fire and words out of control can be devastating. He's saying here that words can create a chain reaction. You can say something that you didn't mean to have any harm, but it can have devastating effects that are beyond your control. Just a few inflammatory statements can begin to set off a chain of events, and it impacts beyond where it starts. And because of technology, we can post a comment, and it goes around the world. And so not only do we need to control our tongues, we need to control our thumb tongues. Our thumb tongues. You know what I mean? The texting tongue, the Twitter tongue, the Instagram tongue. It's just a little jab, right? Just a little jab, a little comment on what we think. And when we push sin, that spark has begun. And if we're not careful, it starts an inferno of pain and hurt in someone's life. And James says you need to learn to manage your mouth. Not only because it can direct you where to go, but it can destroy what you have. You can lose your family, your kids, your career, simply by what you say. It's like a fire. Proverbs 21:23 says, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. It's kind of quiet in here. James is tough. He's in your face, right? Another illustration is this. The tongue can be poison. Look at verse 7. He says, all kind of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Think about it. We've tamed Flipper, Shamu, Simba, even my favorite Mr. Ed. Anybody remember Mr. Ed? Come on, give me some oldies out there. It's my favorite. I love that horse. You know, you guys need to YouTube Mr. Ed. He would call his owner Wilbur, you know, I love that horse. Verse 8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame it. Humanly, we can't take care of it. He says it's restless, and I think that means it's always liable to break out at any moment. You never know what your mouth is going to say. He says it's restless, evil, full of deadly poison. I got to tell you my snake story. Kim and I were walking into the house one night. We opened our door, we had our hands full, and all of a sudden we noticed a snake came in with us, and he's slithering across the floor, and we're going, oh, snake, you know, and I'm trying to chase it around the house. It's got a little red on the head, and all I can think of is red on the head, you're dead. I don't even know if that's true, but so I'm chasing it all through the house. I get into the kitchen, and you know, I think I got it cornered. All of a sudden it goes behind the stove. We pull the stove out, you know, and it's gone. Nowhere to be found. I mean, we looked everywhere. And so for the next 2 weeks, every time I got in my bed, man, I was looking. I mean, you know, snakes can kill you. right? Snakes can kill you. And if truth be known, a lot of us have a snake in the house, right? A lot of us are verbal vipers, so to speak. You know, snakes are wild, they're sneaky, they're poisonous, they will bite you. And that poison will kick in and it will kill. Verbal vipers are that way. Specialize in gossip. You can't even say the word gossip without s, right? Try it. Gossip. Gossip. Verbal vipers that hurt people, kill people. They also, verbal vipers, specialize in slander, another hissing sound. What does it mean to slander someone? To slander someone means you tell the truth about something in order to hurt them. In order to hurt them. I can do that verbally, or I can also do that in silence. I can stand there and hear somebody talk about someone and never stand up for them, never, you know, say anything about them, and I just with my quietness, I rip them apart. Any verbal vipers in the house? Yeah. Kind of left you hanging about my snake, right? About 2 weeks later, we're sitting there, and Jake and Haley are there with us at our house, and all of a sudden, Jake starts screaming, "Snake, snake!" And there he was. There was the little redhead thing. I got, you know, and so I had towels all over the house where if I ever was going to see him, I was going to grab a towel. And so sure enough, man, right when we see him, he's coming across the floor. I'm like, I am fast, Jack. I grab the towel. I am on him, Jack. And let me just say that snake went to meet his Lord, his Maker, that night. Right? Killed that thing every way he could be killed. I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that. But he's poisoned. He's poison. listen, if you have verbal vipers, if you got a verbal viper loose in any part of your persona, in any part of you, you need to kill it. You need to take it out. And that's what James says. The tongue can be like poison, just a few drops can kill. It can be a deadly, deadly weapon. And then finally, he says this, "My words have the power to display." They have the power to display. They reveal my character, my real character. It tells what's really on the inside of me. Used to when you went to the doctor, I don't know if they do this anymore, you go to the doctor and you say, "I'm not feeling well," the first thing they say would stick out your tongue. Stick out your tongue. Your tongue reveals what's going on the inside of you, not just physically, but also spiritually. He points out inconsistency when how inconsistent we are in our speech. Look at verse 10. He says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers, this should not be. We say things out of the same mouth. We come to church on Sunday, and the highest use of our mouth is used in praising God. We sing praises to the Lord. You know, it can really just change our environment. The words that we use, words like "I love you," "You are awesome, son," "I believe in you," "I'm always thinking about you," "Wow, you look so beautiful." Or they can be negative, right? "I can't stand you. You make me sick. I don't want to see you anymore. I want a divorce. I don't like you. Don't call me anymore." Our words can just change the environment of our lives. And it's amazing to me how quickly our attitude can change. 1 minute we can be praising God, and the next we're cursing other people. And that word curse doesn't necessarily mean profanity. It means, you know, kind of a put down, you know, any kind of put down label. You're good for nothing. You never amount to anything. You're just like, any kind of put down is a curse. And he says, "Why curse men? They're made in God's image." And I think, how is it possible that we can be loving to people we love, our kids, our wives, our husbands, and the next moment be harsh and cold and mean to them. How is that possible? How is it possible in 1 minute to be talking to our kids in gentle, loving tones and the next minute to be mean to them, to hurt them? You know, I find myself saying things that damage their self-esteem. How is that? I mean, do you struggle with an inconsistent tongue? James says we all have it. We speak lovingly in one breath and then lash out in the next. So what gives? What's the problem? Why do we do that? Why can we genuinely mean something in love and kindness 1 minute and then genuinely mean something in hate the next minute? And James gives us the answer in verse 11 and 12. He says this, consider the source. Consider the source. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The point is, whatever is in the well comes out in the water. Whatever is in the tree comes out in the fruit. What is the likelihood of an apple tree producing cherries? Nah, zip, right? And so my problem is not really my tongue. My problem is my heart. It's my heart. What's on the inside is what comes out. My mouth eventually displays what is really on the inside of me. What's inside comes out. I can fool you and pretend, but eventually my tongue is going to catch me. It's going to let you know what is really on the inside. You don't have a spring that 1 minute gives salt water and the next gives fresh water. That's inconsistent. It's a natural law. What comes out of the well is what is on the inside of it. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's saying what's on the inside of you is what's going to come out. So my tongue directs where I go. It can destroy what I have, but most of all, it simply displays what I am. It reveals my character. And so if you have a problem with your tongue, it's much more serious than you think. You have a heart problem. I love how Rick Warren says, a person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. And he says, on the other hand, a person who is always encouraging has a happy heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. And so how do we anchor our tongue? How do we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to control our tongue? I'm going to give you three ways, very practical ways, as I close this morning. The first is we need to pause. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We need to engage our mind before we put our mouth into gear. There's a designation here that they go in order. It says, first, be quick to listen, and then slow to speak. If you're quick to listen, you will be slow to speak. If you're slow to speak, then you will be slow to become angry. So if you have a problem with anger, you need to work on being quick to listen and slow to speak. And the result will be you'll be slow to anger. The second thing we need to do is we need to ponder. We need to think before you speak. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And so when I put this guard over my mouth, every time I speak, I should ask myself these questions. Is what I'm about to say helpful? Is it going to build others up according to their needs? Is it going to benefit those who listen? And verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit gives us the power. Because the moment we ask Christ to come into our lives, the moment we confess with our tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord, He places the person of the Holy Spirit in the depths of our being. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to use our words for power, use our words for value, use our words for good. He gives us the strength and the power to benefit others, to help others, to encourage others, to enlighten others, to put wind in the sail of others just by what we say. However, if we're not deferring to the Spirit of God, this is not going to happen. I brought my toothbrush up here. Kim brought me a toothbrush. And I don't know about these fancy new toothbrushes. They have like 18 different features on them. You know? And I don't know if you realize this, but on the back of your toothbrush, you know what that ridge thing is there? Yeah, it's a tongue scraper. Right? It's a tongue scraper. We need to think before we speak. It helps the Holy Spirit to begin to scrape off the words that we should not be speaking. I love acrostics, and so I always are carrying an acrostic in my pocket to pull out in those times of need. And so when I'm focused on thinking before I speak, I use this acrostic think, and it helps me to know if I need to say what I'm thinking about. The first is T, is it true? Is what I'm about to say true? Because if it's not true, I don't need to say it, right? H is it helpful? Is it there to lift the other person up, or is it to put that person down? I, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring them to do better, to point them to Jesus? N, is it necessary? Because it may be true, but it might not be necessary. And then K, is it kind? I want to speak kind words, words that bring life. Let me give you some words that bring life. Words of affection. You know, I love you. You're the man, right? I think about God and when he spoke to Jesus. We really only have two places in the Bible where God speaks to Jesus, his son Jesus, at his baptism and in the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says really the same thing in both of those places. Let me just show you the one at his baptism. He says, at that moment, at baptism, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Words of affection. This is my Son, whom I love, and I am pleased with him. And we need to be people that speak words of affection into other people's lives. Another word is words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." To really speak words of encouragement. You can do this. I'm with you. Words of encouragement. Not in letting unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, but only those words that build the other person up, that benefit them, that are listening to them. And then I love this, words of healing. Words of healing. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life." To look for those opportunities that we have to speak words of healing into people's hearts and souls. When they're struggling, when they're going through a loss, to be the person that can, guided by God's Spirit, speak words of healing. And then my favorite is words of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen." And I think we're really good at speaking things that we see in people. Right? We see how they're acting, how they're living, and we're quick to tell them that. But I think God calls us to speak words of life by speaking words of faith, to begin to speak things that maybe we can't see with a natural eye, but we know that God wants to do in their life. The words of faith, that they can receive God, that they can, obtain freedom, that they can capture God's passion and purpose for their life, they can keep making a difference for Him. Just words of faith, that I see God doing this in you. Romans 4:17 says, "Abraham, is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and then I love this, and calls things that are not as though they were. To be a people that really began to speak words of faith into other people's lives. Says, hey, I see you're a warrior. You're compassionate. Words of faith into their lives. And then finally, the most important thing we can do to allow the Holy Spirit to anchor our tongues is we can pray. We can pray. We pause, we ponder, and we pray. We need to ask God to really begin to do a change in our heart. Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. You've got to get a new heart. I mean, that's the problem, right? Painting the outside of the pump doesn't make any difference if there is poison in the well. I can change the outside. I can turn over a new leaf. But what I really need is a new life. What I need is a fresh start. I need to let go of the past and be born again and start over. God, I need a new heart. How do you get a new heart? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. New life, new heart, new spirit. When you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he wipes out everything you've done in the past. He says, you're starting over. It's like being born again. You need a new heart. And when you come into a personal, forever relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he places his Holy Spirit inside of you, and you have this supernatural power to begin to control your tongue. You can't do it on your own. Your life is, you know, living proof of that. We cannot control it on our own. We need supernatural power, so we ask God to help us. I love this prayer in Psalms 141. It says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. It's a great verse to memorize and to quote every morning. God, put a muzzle on my mouth. Guard my lips. Don't let me be critical today. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me, you know, say things off the cuff that I will then regret. We need to ask God for help daily because you need his power in your life. I read this past week that our tongues have antibodies on them and that naturally fight infection. And so we need to ask God to put spiritual antibodies on our tongue to naturally fight the infection of poison speech, slandering, gossiping, secret telling, swearing. And only when our heart is transformed can our tongues be tamed. So what does your tongue say about you? What does it reveal about you? I mean, if you were to play back a tape of every conversation you had in the past week, what would we learn about you? God hears it all. And our tongues display who we are. What direction is your tongue leading you? Our tongue controls the direction of our lives like a rudder, like a bit. A bit and a rudder must be under the hand of a strong arm. And James is saying the only way to get control of your tongue is to let Jesus Christ have control of your heart. Because what is in your heart is going to come out in your mouth. You let Christ's hand be on your bit, your rudder, and you let him direct your life. And so maybe this morning you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to your kids and say, I'm sorry, I'm inconsistent in the way I talk to you. Sometimes I'm loving, sometimes I'm harsh. Maybe you need to apologize to your wife or your husband. I'm just saying, I know I'm not as loving to you in my speech as I ought to be. I tend to be apathetic, cold, or indifferent. I talk to you harshly. I boss everybody around. I'm inconsistent and inconsiderate. We need to pause. We need to ponder. We need to pray. Ask God to come in and to change our heart. We need to pray like David prayed in Psalms 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Because what's in my heart is going to come out in my mouth. Tough words from our teacher, James, because he knows the power of our words to direct, to destroy, to display. He knows the power of our words to encourage, to lift up. He knows that it begins in our heart. So you ask him, would you pray to him this morning? Oh God, give me a new heart. Create in me a pure heart so that your Holy Spirit can control my tongue. Pray with me, please. You know, every one of us today needed this message, even though it's kind of in our face and steps on our toes. But I really believe it's a universal problem. And sometimes we go through life and we never learn to control our tongue. So right now, would you just pray this prayer in your heart? Would you begin with asking God to look at your heart and just say, God, I need a new heart. I need a new spirit. And maybe for you, it's the very first time that you've invited him in to be your Lord and Savior. And you just pray, come into my life, God. Take control of my life. God, I believe that Jesus is your Son and He died on the cross and He rose again so that I might be forgiven, so that I might experience an eternal relationship with you. So right now, the best I know how, I just surrender to you and ask you to come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Begin to change my heart. Maybe for most of you this morning, it's a recommitment. It's asking God to take control again of your heart, your life, your words, to really begin to surrender every area of your life to Him. And you say, God, sometimes my words bring hurt. And they hurt my family. I say things at work that are unkind. I'm harshest with those I love. And so, God, I need you to do a work in my heart. God, could you help me every day? Would you put a guard on my mouth? Would you help me to pause and ponder and pray before I speak? Lord, forgive me for the things I've said that were out of place. Help me to start. Help me with a new start this morning. I can't do it on my own, God. I need your help. Father, we all need this message, and I pray that we all learn to manage our mouth. And God, we know we can't do it on our own. But by your Spirit in our lives, we can have victory. And Lord, we know that our tongue, our words can damage, but they also can bring delight. And what great potential we have, God. So help us to use our words, our tongues to bless people. Just pray, God, help me to use my words to bless my wife, to bless my children, to bless the people I work with. God, there's tremendous potential in my words. So help them to give light and warmth rather than destruction. God, I want to be used by you. So do your work in me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.